us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you that we can look at this passage. Faith works. The series Faith Works. And we pray that you will help us to understand your word, that it may once again make a difference in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever received a disappointing gift? When was the last time you received a disappointing gift? We've all been given bad gifts from time to time. For me, I remember what springs to my mind, a tea towel that was unsightly, covered with native lizards and birds, I think. And also, I remember every now and then being given books that promote Christian heritage, that are Christian heresy, that I'm clearly never going to read. Bad gifts. According to the experts, other bad gift ideas include a calendar for the year that has already passed, a pet that you don't want, chocolate from a brand you've never heard of, a jar of pickled onions that are out of date, a subscription to Weight Watchers, a bad gift, an air freshener for your room, or a coffee mug with a Bible verse that is totally out of context. Bad gifts. Some say that it's the thought that counts, but there is nothing worse than opening a gift and pretending that you like it. In the old days, they had a saying for a bad gift. They called it a Trojan horse. Trojan horse. So what might you do with a bad gift? According to those in the know, you can donate it to charity, re-gift it to someone else who doesn't want it, recycle it for the environment, return it, get the money, or keep it and pretend you like it. They're the options that you can do with a bad gift. Well, here is the good news. God never gives bad gifts. Every gift from above, from the Father above, is a perfectly good. So, anything that you have in your life that brings you joy, that gives you life, is from God. God always does the right thing by his people. God is never moody. God never gives bad gifts. He always gives good gifts. Now, that doesn't mean that the gift that you received last Christmas was wrapped by God's hands. It means that he is the ultimate, the source of all that is good. He is the ultimate source of all gifts that we crave. So, for example, family, food, friends, time, wisdom, energy is from God. The compassion that you have for others, the kindness that you have for others, money. Money is a good gift from God. Yes, it is true, humanity can take a good gift from God and twist it into something sinful, such as food can become gluttony, money can become greed, wine can be abused, can become drunkenness, and the list can go on and on and on and on. But that doesn't change the fact that God sends perfect gifts. And that includes trials. Trials that are designed to bring us good in this life and good in the next life. Now, if I might describe a trial, I'm going to describe it this way. The picture comes up.
There we go. A trial might be described, for want of a better illustration, like a laksa. Okay, a good laksa. Tasty, we love a laksa. But then God, in our life, can add that little bit of spice that we may not want or we don't like. Too much chili or something like that. It is good for us. It's designed to toughen us for eternity. But we don't like it. But it is good for us. Okay, that can that is one way of describing it. But everything God sends is perfectly good. He is the Father of the heavenly lights. And you might have caught those words in verse 19. Most of the commentators say it is an analogy for the night sky. So there's darkness in the night sky, but there's also light in the darkness. So there's the moon, the stars, the shooting stars. And so the light is a reference to or represents goodness, purity, honesty. And so the light shines in the darkness consistently. It does not change. And I think that is right. That's what it means. You see, God does not change like a shifting shadow. And you can again see those words in verse 17. It's a little bit like the idea. Have you ever been over to Flockhart Park over the road? Many of you probably have, if not all of you. Otherwise known in winter as the Shadowland, with all those trees. And I was there the other day. It was hot. I was on the fringe of all those trees, and I found a spot of shade. But then, as you expect, the earth rotated, the shadows shortened, the shadows shifted. Very annoying. I had to change my spot of shade and find somewhere else. But this is not God. God is not like shifting shadows. It's not like one day he sends good gifts to us, and then the next day he's a little bit moody and he sends bad gifts to us. James is basically saying here, God does not change. Whatever he sends, whether it is sweet, like family, friends, etc., or it is spicy, like a little bit too much to our laksa, as way of illustration, it is always good. And the biggest gift of all, we see in verse 18. He chose to give us birth. So that is salvation in Jesus, through believing in Jesus, through the word of truth. So that is the gospel, that we might become a kind of first fruits for all he created. Now, first fruits is strange to our ears, but it's pretty common in the Bible. And so first fruits basically an offering of gratitude, so thankfulness for what the Lord has done. So the idea in the Bible is that harvest time, God will bring, the people would bring first fruits or the best of their fruits and as an offering to the Lord. So if you can imagine it like this, think of somebody who is close to you, someone who is dear to you, who has done a lot for you. And then think of, say, in your front yard, you have an apple tree, and at harvest time, when it's that time of year to harvest the apples, you take the first fruits, you take the best fruits, you grab a bowl, you fill it, you give it to them as an offering or as a way of saying thank you for all that they've done for you. And so we come to the New Testament, we come to the New Covenant with Jesus. And the idea is we hear what God has done, we've received what God has done, what Jesus has done. He has saved us, he has made us a new creation, ready for eternity, preparing us for eternity. So therefore we've become the first fruits, we bring the best of who we are, we give thanks. We give thanks to God for what he's done, and we bring the best of who we are. That's the idea of created as first fruits here. And so, but back to the main idea. Okay? The main idea is every gift from God is perfectly good. So why does James want his readers to know that? Why does James want us believers, Christians, to know that today? Well, at the beginning of the book of James, the early church leader in the family of Jesus, he writes to the 12 scattered tribes in various different locations, facing all kinds of different trials in their life. And in their trials, some are blaming God for tempting them to sin. So to try and give some examples that might relate to us today, here's some examples of what they might have done, what they would have done back then, but to try and use some modern day examples. And so the idea is, God, you are sovereign, you have put me in this room. You've put me in this room with wherever, work, school, wherever. You've put me in this room with this person. God, you are tempting me to be rude, angry at that person. Or another example might be, God, you have put me in this school, and because of what's happened in this school, I have no choice but to cheat on my exams. Because you've done that, God. Or God, you've given me a life and money is tight, and so, God, you're tempting me to steal. Two more examples. God, you've made me unemployed. I have no choice but to be lazy. In other words, they're basically saying, God, you're tempting me to be lazy. Or God, you've given me this spouse. God, you're tempting me to be unfaithful. And so, the idea here is no, 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 no. God is not the author of sin. Do not be deceived. Stop what you're thinking. You've heard the saying, you are what you eat. Here it's, you are what you think. Stop that. And so, James puts it like this. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So you get the idea. So back then, and even now, they're in trials. It's not great. It's too much spice in life. Can't handle it. It's burning my tongue. Don't like it. And because I'm in that, I am tempted to react this way, which is sinful, and basically God is responsible because he put me in this trial. He's saying, no, 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 no. There is no sin mixed up with God sending his gifts. And so he continues in verse 14, he says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And then verse 15, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And so I've put it in other words to try and help us understand. So I think this is really important. So here's how it works. Because of our flesh, all of us, we are prone to sin. Even as believers in Christ, because of the old flesh, because we're still in a broken world, we are prone to sin. And therefore, we are inevitably tempted. And then what happens is we entertain that thought. We play with that thought. The desire grows. We are enticed. We are dragged away with that desire that is grown. And then we sin. We are fully responsible, not God. And so once that is fully grown, the consequence of that, in other words, is death. That's what he's basically saying. But then James said, don't be deceived by that. Now, of course, as Christians, we know there is good news. We have a Saviour who steps in on the cross and pays the penalty, so we don't pay the penalty for death. He does that. Okay, so that should be very clear in all our heads, those of us who believe. So we're not going to face that eternal condemnation, death because of Jesus. But that's not the focus here. Okay, that's the big focus of the Bible. It's not the focus here. The focus here is people in trials. They don't like it. They're blaming God for tempting them to sin. And James is making it clear that any temptation to sin, regardless of the situation we're in, whether back then or today in here, around Campsie and wherever we live, it is ours. We are fully responsible for that. Basically, every gift that God sends, whether sweet or spicy, is perfectly good. That is what he's saying. And so what should our response be? Well, I was looking through the passage, I'm thinking, what can we respond? How can we respond to the facts that everything God says is perfectly good? How do we respond? Well, I thought I would pull in from the from first fruits. You remember what first fruits was? It was an offering of gratitude. And I thought what we could do is give thanks. Give thanks. The idea is God, he sends good to us, and our response is to give thanks. Now, most of us are going to live here to about 100, thanks to medical improvements. So for many of you here, most of you here, that's about 80 or 90 years. When our time is up, we're going to be judged. As Christians in Christ, we're going to be judged on two things. Before we enter glory, because all our sins are forgiven, but we're going to be assessed, we're going to be judged on two things. The first thing is, was mentioned last week, is perseverance. Perseverance as a Christian. Did you persevere as a believer? Extremely important. And the second thing is, were you thankful? So let's say, let's round it off, you're about 100, your time is up, you come before the Lord. Did you persevere? It's critical. That's what Christianity is. You've got to persevere to the very end. And the second thing is, were you thankful? In all circumstances. For it is God's will. That's his will. Paul puts it another way. So James mentions what he mentions, but Paul puts it this way in 1 Thessalonians. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So you can see the idea of not just some circumstances when things are going well, but all circumstances include when things are a little bit tough. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you and me in Christ Jesus. See, we spend so much time chasing dreams, wondering what is my will for my life, or what is my spiritual gifts. But God wants us to spend so much more of our time on being thankful for what he gives. He's sovereign. He gives everything that we have around us. And he wants us to be thankful for simple things such as the sunset. The sunset or the sunrise, or for a conversation with a friend, or meal, hence why we give thanks at dinner time for the meal, or for things as big as our salvation. God wants us to always give thanks. Now, for some of us at different seasons in life, it's going to be a struggle. And when it's been a struggle for me over various times in my life, here's one thing I've tried to do, is just try and be thankful for one thing a day. And that's in the morning. And so this morning, I gave thanks to God for the good gift of a motorbike. I just got a motorbike. And so there you go, he gives all gifts, I got a motorbike. So that's what I did this morning, okay? So if you're struggling, you get up in the morning, just give him thanks for something. And you're doing that as a believer in Christ Jesus. That is God's will for you in response to his good gifts. God sends, we give thanks. But what if there's a terrible event that has taken place, a setback in our life, an accident? We still give thanks, but we don't give thanks for, say, the sin of that event. We give thanks for the good that might come, or the lesson that we might learn. So, for example, a good classic example is the cross of Jesus. We don't give thanks because the Romans beat Jesus up, but we give thanks for the salvation that the cross achieved. And so another example, last week, I spoke about a documentary that Karen and I were watching about this fellow who got an autoimmune disease. He gave thanks. He didn't give thanks because he got an autoimmune disease, but he gave thanks because it changed his lifestyle from an unhealthy lifestyle to a healthy lifestyle. What he ate, how he exercised. So you can see the idea. We're not just willy-nilly giving thanks for horrible things that happen in this world, but we can give thanks for good things that might come or things that we can learn from it. And so we should always give thanks. I think one of the reasons we find it a little bit hard to give thanks is because we have a very high view of ourselves and a low view of God. And so I think as a result, what we all do is we kind of expect God to do nice things all the time. But if we could flip that around and have a higher view of God and maybe a lower view of ourselves, I think it would help us to be, certainly help me to be a little bit more thankful, especially through trials. Yeah, I think that's how it works. And I often think as well that when we see something happening in our lives or we provide something, we're not quick to give thanks to God. We're sort of quick to credit ourselves. But we must remember, who gave you that skill? Who gave you that time to do whatever that is? Who gave you that drive? Who put you in Australia and not Gaza? So it was God. And so as believers, we should always give thanks, even when by the God's kindness we do super well at school, sporting field, or whatever the situation. I think it's critical. Because wasn't that James' idea? He wants us to become, we are created to be first fruits. Give thanks, bring the best of who we are to God. That's what he wants. So give thanks with a grateful heart. God sends gifts that are perfectly good. It is designed for our good in this life and the next life. And so we consider Jesus. Jesus, he is the pinnacle of love and goodness. Jesus, he's the pinnacle of God's best gifts. Jesus went to the cross that the poor in spirit would become rich, that the weak in this world would become strong. And so we give thanks for what the Lord has done, for the good that he sends us. Now, I just want to play a video. It's an old song. It's an old song we used to sing in church, and most of you have probably heard of it because I think it's still around today. Every now and then I've heard a retake on it by a Janella Salvador, and I thought she sings it really well, and I thought we would... So the idea here is we give thanks to the Lord with a grateful heart as a response to all the good that he sends us. So we'll watch the video and then I'll pray.